people talking bad about the way we have to live here in this country. Harping on wars we fight and griping about the way things ought to be. And I don't mind them switching sides and standing up for things they believe in. When they're running down my country, man, they're walking on the fighting side of me. Yeah, walking on the fighting side of me. Running down the way of life, I'm fighting in the fog and die to keep. If you don't love it, leave it, let this song I'm singing be a warning. When you're running down my country, man, you're walking on the fighting side of me. Some squirrely guy who claims he just don't believe in fight. And I wonder just how long the rest of us can count on being free. They love our milk and honey, but they preach about some other way of living. When they're running down my country horse, they're walking on the fighting side of me. Yeah, walking on the fighting side of me. Running down the way of life, I'm fighting in a fought and died to be. If you don't love it, leave it. Let this song I'm singing be a warning. When you're running down my country, man, you're walking on the fighting side of me. Yeah, walking on the fighting side of me. Running down the way of life, I'm fighting in a fog and die to keep. If you don't love it, leave it, let this song I'm singing be a warning. When you're running down my country, man, you're walking on the fighting side of me.
Yes, when you're running down my country, you're walking down the fighting side of me, and that's the name of this program here on WhiteResistanceRadio.com. Well, lots more news and views for our people, and of course, those are the European founding settler people of the Dominion of Canada, the United States of America, the Dominions of Australia and New Zealand, the Republic of South Africa, Rhodesia, and all of you who may be listening this morning in the European heartland. Well, here's an interesting little old tidbit that's been sent my way, and I just want to make sure I've got this here. And it's from, I don't mean to sound so disorganized here today, and we'll have that up for you in a minute. Okay. Now, the leader of the Green Party in Canada is a woman named Elizabeth May, and she's just come out with an interesting policy. Green Party prepared to accept tens of thousands of new climate refugees. Green Party leader Elizabeth May says if elected, her party would welcome the arrival of tens of thousands of new, I don't know why we just suddenly had this bounce away from us, thousands of new refugees to Canada who may soon be forced to leave their homeland because of climate change. What? It's getting warmer? Get to Canada. It's getting colder. Get to Canada. Now, through all of human history, people have adapted to climate change. For one thing, the temperature doesn't usually rise catastrophically overnight, or they go the other way for any long period of time. So people are able to adapt. If the temperature happens to get colder, well, you have to put in more fuel, maybe build houses that are better insulated. You adapt. So if the temperature goes up a little bit in sub-Saharan Africa, say, is the answer for them all to come to Canada? No, this is nuts. This is just another excuse to enable the replacement of our people. Quote, we have right now depopulated areas across the country. We can build up infrastructure by 2030 or 2040 to accept far more people in regions, for instance, in the prairies, where there are depopulated places, in Atlantic Canada and northern Quebec. This woman is a twit, or an airhead, or worse. Areas of Atlantic Canada and northern Quebec. Yeah, but the problem always, the problem now is that in explaining they're being depopulated is quite simple. Why? There aren't any jobs, or there are not enough jobs. So if you are somehow, and of course this is all airy-fairy, going to create jobs in those areas, well, wouldn't it make more sense to create them for, that's right, unemployed Canadians? I mean, wouldn't that be the proper thing to do? And you know, these airy-fairy election promises, I think, have to be really challenged. Get real, lady. May based her tens of thousands estimate on the Intergovernment Panel on Climate Change assessment that by 2050 the world could expect to see approximately 200 million more refugees displaced by environmental crisis should the planet continue to warm at the rate it is now. These predictions are utter hooey. The prediction is that the planet may warm me. That is, if all the present predictions are correct, may warm by almost another two-thirds of a degree by the end of the century. Now, is two-thirds of a degree going to scorch people out of their environment? I don't think so. This would be the result of changes of things like shoreline disruption, coastal flooding, and agricultural disruption. Okay, supposing sea levels rise a little bit. What should the people do? Well, come to Canada. Well, that might be one possibility. A far better possibility is move a little farther inland. May start a climate week in Cal... May start Climate Week in Calgary, marching with local residents, and moved east to Montreal by Friday, joining several tens of thousands, advocating for increased climate action. Yeah, well, you know, silly willies. There's nothing we can do to alter climate change, up or down. We can adapt. For instance, the one useful thing the trust fund kid did propose last week was to a massive effort to plant trees. That's a good idea. Trees are a good thing. A good idea. Trees absorb heat. Trees create cool. Good thing. No problem with that. But in most cases, if you're worrying about the cooling of the Earth or the warming, this is caused by explosions on the sun called sunspots. The more explosions at a given time, the Earth heats up. The fewer, it cools down. Is there anything we can do about it? Pray maybe. Liberal leader Justin Trudeau and NDP leader Jagmeet Singh also marched in Montreal and Victoria, respectively, while Conservative leader Andrew Scheer and People's Party leader Maxime Bernier opted out. They were very, very sensible to do that. I think we have to be really ruthless in attacking this nonsense of Canada being a dumping ground for people escaping so-called climate change. It's up to them to adapt within their own countries. I mean, the simplest adaptation, let's say sea levels rising, would be to move in further inland or build dikes or there are all manner of adaptations. The fallback position shouldn't be come to Canada. Traditional environmentalists and people like Elizabeth May are not traditional environmentalists have long since known that that increased population stresses the environment. In fact, when I put this item out on Canada First, that's our immigration reform site, http://canadafirst.nfshost.com. So Canada First, all one long word, .nfshost.com. This is what I said. Ms. Green must know that more people mean more stress on the environment, traffic gridlock, and drained social services. And that's very important to stress. And environmentalists know this, that the more human population you stick into an area, and most of these people will come to our big cities, Toronto, Vancouver, Montreal, Edmonton, Calgary, Winnipeg, I may have left one or two, Ottawa. An already crowded area will have more people needing water. Well, maybe we have plenty of water. Stressing the environment, occupying some of our very limited arable space, generating waste, human waste, garbage, etc., which has to be disposed of, and so on. So more people, ironically, will stress, quite logically, will stress the environment. Is that what an environmentalist should be promoting? I don't think so. Immigration will crowd the already crowded areas around Toronto, Vancouver, Montreal, adding to traffic gridlock, meaning more carbon generated pumped up into the air, which they claim is a bad thing. Oh yes, and social services. Right now, according to Herb Grubel, a former Reform Party member of Parliament and professor emeritus of economics at Simon Fraser University, the cohort of immigrants, mostly from the Third World, who came to Canada from 1985 on, cost us over $30 billion, that's with a B, $30 billion a year in what they take from the tax pot as opposed to what they put in. In other words, they put in $30 billion a year less to the tax pot than they take out. Do you think it's a good idea to bring some more of these people in? Well, Elizabeth May seems to think so. And this is why we need hard-nosed common sense on immigration matters. This is what I want to thank Stan Hess for, my good friend down there in the state of Idaho. Why is it that so many people change their name? I would think maybe it's to do that they like to cover something up. Obama, Barack Hussein Obama's real name was Barry Soetoro. Brought up most of his youth by an Indonesian Muslim. Ilhan Omar, that's the mouthy Somali, her real name is Ilhan Esme. Kirsten Gillibrand, sounds very Aryan, her real name is Tina Rutnick. Bill de Blasio's real name is Warren Wilhelm Jr. Beto O'Rourke is Robert O'Rourke. Bernie Sanders is really Bernie Gutman, Jewish. Kamala Harris is Maya Harrison. Pete Buttigieg is Paul Montgomery. Elizabeth Warren is Liz Herring. Cory Booker was originally known as Tony Booker. And finally, former white heating attorney general under Barack Hussein Obama, or Barry Salvatore, was Eric Holder, originally Eric Hinton. And the comment passed on to me by Stan Hess is, Democrats are so fraudulent and corrupt that they don't even use their real names with the American people. You know, I think that's a very good challenge. You know, why don't you use your real name? You know, why must people reinvent themselves? And usually not in a good way. Well, this past week, we had a 1 or 2 day wonder about a fellow in Montreal. And he caused some problems for our foreign affairs minister. Foreign affairs minister. Foreign affairs minister Chrystia Freeland promised to correct course quickly after revelations the federal government accepted the nomination of a Canadian with allegiances to the Assad regime to be Syria's honorary consul in Montreal. Ms. Freeland said on Tuesday this past week she was shocked to learn from Maclean's magazine that her officials last month signed off on Syria's appointment of Wassim Ramli, a Montreal businessman who openly endorses Syrian Premier Bashar al-Assad. Christian Freeland has condemned Assad and says the international community should condemn him as a war criminal. And she's Freeland has demanded an explanation and advice on what to do next from the department. Will she actually cancel his recognition as the honorary Syrian consul general in Montreal? The story gets richer because he has close connections with the Liberal Party. He posed a couple of years ago with the trust fund kid. And, you know, to be fair, you can't read a whole lot into that. I'll tell you why. It doesn't take a lot to be able to pose with a politician. If you can pay the entrance fee to a party fundraiser, they'll pose with anybody. So, you know, while it may be a sort of a gotcha moment, it frankly, you know, between you and me and the gatepost, it doesn't prove an awful lot. Anyway, though, Wassim Ramli is also thick with some other Liberal politicians. In recent years, Mr. Ramli made occasional appearances at Liberal Party fundraising events in Montreal, as well as making donations to the election campaign of his Liberal MP, Mark Miller. Mark Miller's a good pal of Justin Trudeau. Mr. Ramli posted a photograph on social media with Justin Trudeau after a fundraising dinner last June, just before Mr. Ramli went to Syria and got the honorary consul appointment. His Facebook profile features a photo of him with Syrian President Bashar al-Assad. His Humvee has as a vanity license plate, I Love Syria. He actually has an image of Mr. al-Assad on it, on one of the windows, and anyway, so I'll give the big kerfuffle. So this guy, with connections to the Liberal Party, has been appointed honorary consul general in Montreal. The big scandal is that that he is an outspoken supporter of Bashar al-Assad. Let's be real about it, and this is what it is. A consul general represents a country. Now, in this case, it's Syria. Do you seriously think the Syrians would appoint somebody who's hostile to the regime? Well, look upon it this way. With the Red Chinese government appoint as its consul general in Toronto, Vancouver, or Montreal an opponent of the regime? Well, of course not. You know, as the French say, ça va sans dire. Of course they're going to appoint somebody who's on side. There's nothing wrong with that. That's to be expected. And so this is truly a tempest in a teapot. And it just shows how out of touch Chrystia Freeland is with the real world. She's a militant feminist who, of course, didn't do anything to support fellow woman Monica Schaefer when she was jailed for 10 months in Germany for the nonviolent expression of her political views. Meanwhile, of course, Chrystia Freeland has lobbied and caused a problem with our relations with Saudi Arabia because she was making a lot of noise about several Saudi feminists who were jailed. Now, whether you like that or approve of it or not, is that really our business? A temporary tempest in a teapot. Here's another interesting story that crossed my desk today, it has an interesting immigration angle, and this is a story from Pakistan, and. There was a person convicted recently of being quite naughty, or very naughty, actually. Brother found guilty of honor killing. And this is from Lahore in Pakistan. A Pakistani court convicted the brother of social media star Kandil Baloch of her murder in the 2016 killing that sparked a change in laws and ignited a fierce debate over the prevalence of honor killing of women. So the idea with the honor killing is if a daughter or a wife is seen to embarrass the family or disgrace the family, the only way this can be solved is to kill her. Okay? I wouldn't say those are our ways, would you? A court in the eastern city of Multan found Mohammed Wasim guilty of the murder and sentenced him to life imprisonment. His lawyer, Sardar Mehboob, told Reuters on Friday. Six others accused of involvement have since been acquitted. Wasim admitted in 2016 that he strangled his 26-year-old sister due to her social media activities. Baloch had posted risque Facebook posts in which she spoke of trying to change, quote, the typical orthodox mindset of the people of Pakistan. She faced frequent online abuse and death threats, but continued to post provocative pictures and video. So, the brother killed her. Actually, I'm not laughing at the fact he killed her, but this brings up a very important problem point. Do we want people in this country who subscribe to these primitive approaches to human and family relationships? Now, our official party line in Canada, not mine, but the cultural Marxist, is that all cultures are equal. Well, they're not. Some cultures approve of this, or at least some aspects of some cultures approve of that. We certainly don't. Why should we be bringing people to this country who are not on side? Who think that's okay? Well, our present system has no way of weeding such people out, because we follow the idiot doctrine of multiculturalism that says all cultures are equal. But they're not. And proof of that is, why do people want to leave hell holes like Pakistan or Haiti or the Congo or so on to come to our country? If all cultures are equal, why not stick with their culture? Well, because their culture, in many cases, has cultures have led to a failed state. So they're leaving failed states that have failed because of a failed culture, and we invite them to bring that culture to Canada? Nutty. Only People's Party of Canada leader Maxime Bernier has a plan. And he says we must radically reduce the number of immigrants and radically reduce the number of refugees. But everybody who is going to be a potential immigrant must have a face-to-face interview with police or an immigration officer. Yeah, hard to believe, but right now it's possible to apply to immigrate to Canada and never actually have a face-to-face interview. It can be all done, in many cases it can all be done online. That has to stop, he says. And in that face-to-face interview, it will be important to determine whether you share, the potential immigrant shares Canadian values. And if he doesn't, you know, it's perfectly all right. He can believe anything he wants and practice anything he wants in his country. But we don't need to bring it here. Oh, here's another overseas story. Boys shackled, abused in house of torture. How many times have you heard it said, in fact, going back to Bush the Second, Islam is a religion of peace. In fact, the dust had hardly settled from the terrorist attack on the Twin Towers and the Pentagon and the George W. Bush said that wanted to tell us apropos of nothing that Islam was a religion of peace. How did he deduce that? He's not a theologian. Not very long after our Canadian Prime Minister, at that time it was Jean Chrétien, said Islam was a religion of peace. I see these people who blew up attacked these towers, doing that in the name of Islam, were what? Eccentrics, people who didn't understand their own religion? Now, I would agree that not all Muslims are terrorists, not all Muslims act or believe in violence, but let's not call it a religion of peace. Well, anyway, okay. Back here to the House of Torture. Police have rescued hundreds of boys from a House of Torture in Nigeria after raiding an Islamic center where pupils as young as 9 were allegedly shackled to walls, tortured, and sexually abused. Officers who stormed a building in the northern city of Kaduna said September 27th that they had found nearly 500 emaciated young men and boys, about 100 of whom had been held in chains in his cramped basement, some for several months. So some of these little children or boys are shackled and chained. They were underfed. Some had been tortured. Some had been raped. The establishment's owner and 7 suspects described as teachers were arrested after victims told their rescuers that they'd been sodomized, starved, and subjected to frequent beatings by members of staff. Some may even have died. Quote, we found around 100 students, including children as young as 9, in chains, stuffed in a small room. Yakubu Sabo, the Kaduna State Police spokesman, said. Yeah, and remind me, Islam is a religion of peace, right? This is something that when stories like this emerge, I think we have to be very tough in our comments. That this reflects on the religion. Don't forget, this is a religious school. This is a madrasa. This isn't just gangsters or somebody who might happen to be Muslim. These are official. And they should be required to answer for that. Here's a very interesting story that is rife with meaning. And this story has received almost no coverage. In lawsuit, Trudeau reveals racism insights. In the wake of Justin Trudeau's blackface scandal a week ago, this comments in a recent lawsuit give an illuminating insight into how the Prime Minister thinks about racism. In August 2018, Trudeau made headlines when he called out a woman for intolerance and racism after she heckled him at a rally in Quebec and asked him about illegal immigrants. Oh my gosh, how could the woman even think of asking him about that? Don't forget, these illegal immigrants, over 43,000 since late 2016, have poured unobstructed across the border on Roxham Road into Quebec from the United States. These people are from places like Nigeria and parts of Latin America, Haiti, and so on. And they're bypassing the normal procedure, which would be if you feel that you qualify as a refugee, you make an application. And see, they're prevented from doing that because they're in the United States. And the Third Safe Country Agreement stipulates that if you are in a safe country like the United States and you want to make a refugee claim, you must make it there. You can't go up to Canada shopping. And similarly, if you're in Canada, you want to make a refugee claim, and you've got to make it in Canada, not in the United States. So what they do is they simply circumvent this by crossing the border in an open field. Now, that's their way to, with the help of people smugglers and so on. Now, that's their way of circumventing Canadian law. But it shouldn't have it shouldn't circumvent it for more than a nanosecond if we simply said, the whole border is a designated crossing area. So if you cross through the field, and you want to make a refugee claim, sorry, back you go, you can't do it. Anyway, a Quebec woman heckled Trudeau in August of last year. That incident led to an ongoing lawsuit that has received little public attention since it was filed by the heckler last December. In July, Trudeau was questioned in Montreal as part of the lawsuit. In the court documents, Trudeau said he believed the intolerance had to be addressed swiftly and also pointed to a particular brand of Quebec nationalism he found troubling. You see, he's a preachy guy. Instead of humbly listening to what the woman said, let the woman express her opinion or ask her question rather than to tell her she's wrong and to insult her, and that's what he did. In videos that circulated widely of the altercation, during a speech Trudeau gave to Liberal supporters at an event in Sabrevois in Quebec, the Prime Minister can be seen telling the heckler that this intolerance regarding immigrants does not have a place in Canada. What? You have to tolerate the invasion and your replacement? Well, what a hopped up priss he is. At the time, commentators and conservative politicians were quick to accuse the Prime Minister of berating an elderly woman without justification, a narrative that changed somewhat when it was revealed that the woman, Diane Blaine, had connections to far-right nationalist groups. So what? So what if she had connections to far-right nationalist groups? Does that mean she must shut up and can't ask a question? Or does that give the trust fund kid licensed to be rude to her and to make accusations? In December, Blaine filed a defamation lawsuit against Trudeau, demanding $90,000 for psychological distress and damage to her reputation and her right to freedom of expression. Trudeau's defense argues that it was perfectly legitimate for the Prime Minister to note the intolerance expressed by the terms used by Ms. Blaine. Oh, she didn't use the right word. She called them illegals. Oh, what should she have called them? The Prime Minister's favorite tools for our replacement, which would actually also be quite accurate. Trudeau's during his examination, this is part of the discovery, Trudeau told Blaine's lawyer the context of her comments made it clear she was intolerant. Well, intolerant, so what? She doesn't want her, she doesn't want her own people replaced. Woo! Can't do that. What would you think you are? But he also said he doesn't believe Blaine was a racist, despite having accused her multiple times of racism. Oh, accused you of racism, but you're probably not a racist. I think he's kind of softening things up now that he's actually on the witness stand. At the event, Blaine called out multiple times from the crowd asking, when will you give back the $146 million that we paid for your illegal immigrants? Her question was in reference to the Quebec government's demand at the time to be reimbursed for the costs as of that point incurred by the influx of illegals entering Quebec at the Roxham Road. In examination, Trudeau said he didn't initially understand Blaine's question, but realized that she was asked what she was asking when he heard the words, "your illegal immigrants." He told Blaine's lawyer that the way she asked the question, referring to "your illegal immigrants," proved it was not in good faith. What? It's not in good faith? It's only in good faith if she accepts the invasion by illegal people? Unbelievable. This is a direct quotation from Justin Trudeau. It was a context in which the goal was to disrupt and push an agenda that was either anti-immigrant or that simply wanted to spark fear and concern about immigrants. To push an agenda. Well, ask a question. Why are you doing this to our country? Why are you allowing by now over 40,000 illegals into the country? How is her question about that pushing an agenda? Anti-immigrant? Well, what's wrong with that? Why shouldn't she have a right to be anti-immigrant? I'm assuming she is. She's actually talking about illegals, not immigrants. And he worries about sparking fear and concern about immigrants. Well, we have a right to be afraid. We're being replaced. These people are being used as tools in an agenda by the globalists and the cultural Marxists. And so Trudeau went on to say, for me, it was important to respond firmly and clearly, in other words, to chew her out. He also said he felt it was necessary to speak out swiftly because the crowd was very diverse and many of his supporters at that event were immigrants. So as usual, to suck up to the invaders and to put down Native Canadians. He went on to discuss Quebecers' concerns about the asylum seekers, the illegals, that is, at Roxham Road. Saying there are very reasonable people who worry about border crossings, but there's a point where it goes beyond concern and becomes a desire to preserve a historic Quebec identity against immigrants. And unfortunately, it's not something we hear often, but it's common enough to be part of the pattern. Okay, so what he has a problem with is people who want to preserve a historical Quebec identity. In other words, to keep a Quebec predominantly French and European. If you want to do that, that's evil. And that's really the rub here. He is a person who wishes basically to replace his own people. That, the words like traitor may not be too far off the mark. At the August event, Blaine asked Trudeau if he was tolerant of Québécois de souche, which means basically old stock Quebecers. A term that refers to white Quebecers who are descendants of the original French colonists. He responded by saying that he was tolerant of all perspectives and accused Blaine of being intolerant. Yeah, I mean, if you don't agree with me, you're a racist. Later, when she confronted him again as he was moving through the crowd, he told her, "Your racism has no place here." In other words, this woman, a descendant of people like my people on my parents, my mother's side, who've been in this country building it for 350 years, has no place in this country? This is outrageous. Blaine's lawyer, Christian Lajoie, asked Trudeau during the examination about Quebec nationalism. After Trudeau said he didn't like the term Québécois de souche because its connotations are intolerance. What? In other words, the descendants of the founding settler people of Quebec, predominantly the people who are French, have no right to try to preserve their people in Quebec? This is appalling. Still asked directly if he believes Blaine is a racist, Trudeau said, "No, I was speaking about her comments that I associated with intolerance. There's a wave of thinking that has racist elements." So he's playing games with the words. He called her. He said there was no room for her in Canada. In Canada, that she was her comments were racist, but he doesn't think she's a racist. Well, he's playing silly. Well, this is Paul Fraub, and you're on the fighting side of me here on WhiteResistanceRadio.com. Here's a great song, and it's through the magic of modern science, it's been made into a video where you see both Hank Williams Jr., who's been dead since 1952, and his son, Hank Williams Sr. and Hank Williams Jr. singing the same song together. There's a tear in my, well, that's not the song we're going to get right now, so I've got to push this back here. There's a tear in my beer. This is a blending of singing by both Hank Williams Sr. and Hank
it's
Williams
a really Jr. easy way to use computer science, and computer science is important because it's everywhere.
As soon as we manage to suppress this intrusive little lad. Well, we are really having our problems tonight. This is, I think we've got it now.
Bye.
that song by the late great George Jones, the Possum, sometimes called No Show Jones, Who's Gonna Fill Their Shoes? Kind of a survey of where country and western music is going. Who's gonna fill their shoes? This is
Attack of Our Chocolate Blues.
George Jones and one of these unwanted little ads that manages to slip in there.
They change.
Happy birthday, Mom.
There's goodness in everyone. Cadbury Dairy Milk.
You carrying there, pal?
George Jones.
You mean the pan? George must fly everywhere.
Nope. Just George this trip. We're heading home.
We don't see nobody since the interstate opened. Do you think he might sign my guitar?
He's awake in there. Holler at him.
Mr. Jones? Mr. Jones?
Yeah. Hey, old gentleman. What do you know?
Would you sign my guitar?
A few others have. I sure will.
Great. Just a second.
Oh, my goodness. Would you look at this? Waylon, Hank, Lefty, Willie. Where in the world did you get this?
They were all right here. This used to be the main highway. We just got lucky a few years, I guess.
Well, my goodness. What else you got?
Come on in.
All right.
You know, this old world is full of singers, but just a few are chosen
to tear your heart up when they sing.
Imagine life without it. All your radio heroes,
like the outlaw that walks through Jesse's dream.
No, they'll never be another
red-headed stranger, a man in black and Folsom prison blue.
The Okie from Muskogee, or hello, darling.
Lord, I wonder who's gonna fill their shoes.
Who's gonna fill their shoes? Who's gonna stand that tall?
Who's gonna play the opera and the
Wabash Cannonball?
Who's gonna give their heart and soul to get to me and you?
Lord, I wonder
who's gonna fill their shoes?
God bless the boys from Memphis,
blue suede shoes and Elvis. Much too soon he left this world in tears.
They tore up the 50s,
old Jerry Lee and Charlie, and Go Cat Go still echoes through the years.
You know, the heart of country music still beats in Luke the Drifter.
You can tell it when he sang our soul alive.
Old Marty, Hank, and Lefty, why, I can feel him right here with me
on this silver eagle rolling through the night.
Who's gonna fill their shoes? Who's gonna stand that tall?
Who's gonna play the opera and the Wabash wonder who's gonna fill their shoes.
Hey, George, what happened back there?
I don't think you'd believe it, buddy. I just don't think you would.
Here's another great song from here's a medley of songs by Boxcar Willie. Hope you like that. Great performer from the 70s and 80s. Boxcar Willie. This is Paul Fromm, and you're on the fighting side of me here on White.
I'm going to do you a little medley of Hank Williams songs. If you hear one you like, you tell me about it, okay? I tried so hard, my dear, to show that you're my every dream. Yet you're afraid each thing I do is just some evil scheme. The more I learn to care for you, the more we drift apart. Why can't I free your doubtful mind and melt your cold, cold heart? Yeah. Take these chains from my heart and set me free. Be as fair to my heart as you can be. You remember this one? If you love me half as much as I love you, you wouldn't worry me half as much as you do. I know that I could never be this blue. If you only love me half as much as I love you. Today I passed you on the street, and my heart fell at your feet. I can't help it if I'm still in love with you. Somebody else stood by your side, and he looked so satisfied. I can't help it if I'm still in love with you. Everybody knows this. Your cheating heart will make you weep. You'll cry and cry and try to sleep, but sleep won't come the whole night through. Your cheating heart will tell on you. Here's my favorite, ladies and gentlemen.
see you change your name. I couldn't stand to see you wed another. So wedding bells would never ring for me.
Oh, I wish we could sing Hank songs all night, but we don't have time to do them all. I've had the pleasure of playing in 41 countries around the world, ladies and gentlemen, and I've never been anywhere yet, no matter what language they spoke, if somebody didn't know this next song of Hank Williams. Here's the song that made his name famous all around our world.
I got a feeling called a blue.
This is Paul Fromm, and you're on the Fighting Side of Me here on WhiteResistanceRadio.com. Back with you again tomorrow, same time, midnight Eastern Time. The show is repeated in the morning and 4 in the afternoon. All of those are Eastern Standard Time. I sign off tonight, as I always do, with the anthem of the real Canada.